Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Cynthia Jurz, and we're talking about Earth treasure vases. And we were just beginning to talk about sacred time. And I was struck in your book that there were three people who really talked deeply about this. One was a Dogon master, I think, in the Sahara Desert. And another, when you went to a Pygmy village in Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, that he also, someone there spoke about the sacred time. And then Thich Nhat Hanh himself has talked about sacred time. You've alluded to how we're in a constant state of overwhelm and busyness, and it's, there's a kind of slowing down, and we want immediate results. So here you're burying these vases, and it's not going to give immediate results, maybe. And so what do you say about the idea of being patient and allowing us to walk more slowly and be more patient?
Oh, there's so much to say. I think of Thich Nhat Hanh, who you may know, walked at a snail's pace. He was always doing a walking meditation wherever he went. So he's walking very slowly, breathing in and out with each step, very slowly, even at the airport, getting to a flight. He wasn't rushing. He was just step by step. And if you know anything about Thich Nhat Hanh, you know that he got a lot done in his life. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, for goodness sakes, and was an activist during the war and, established thousands of practitioners. There's so many things I could say about Thich Nhat Hanh. Wrote, I don't know how many hundreds of books, et cetera, et cetera. So, but he understood that the way in which things happen most efficiently and also most aligned with what it is that we really are meant to be doing is when we stop long enough or slow down enough to where we're actually connected, completely, totally connected to our true self and to that deep source of clarity and wisdom and compassion that is within each of us. And so he always counseled us to, stop from time to time and take a breath. And this is like a radical thing to do in this day and age, because we're so conditioned to keep going and constantly keep going. And so here we are in this place now in the world where we're just going and going and going, and we're going literally nowhere very fast, because it's
the merry-go-round.
That's in Buddhism we call that samsara, the cyclic existence. It just goes round and round and round and round. And then there's so many of us who are lost, confused, isolated. When I went to the country of Mali, which is on the edge of the Sahara Desert, I met a Dogon elder. Yeah, when I went to meet this Dogon elder in Mali on the edge of the Sahara Desert, and I asked him, what about this urgency that I feel? This was back in, maybe 2011. And I was in the midst of going to Africa with the treasure vases and all around the world, Australia, all these places. And so I asked him about that. And he looked at me for the longest time and he said, finally, urgency. We don't really have that here. And indeed, he did not. They live in a very different way than we do. Of course, he was aware of the world situation, but what I understood in that moment was that being governed by and operating within the context of this sense of pressure and urgency doesn't help. In fact, it only makes it worse. It contributes to the more of the problem rather than alleviating the problem in order to bring healing. And so I had to stop. I had to stop approaching it from the point of view of, oh my God, what are we going to do right now? You know, this is horrible. And take a breath and come back to next step after next step. And when I did that, I began to really understand what happens when we do return to the present moment, when we do take a breath and we open to something so much larger, because then, especially if we have an intention that is for the benefit of others, then you'd be so amazed at the synchronicities that start happening and people coming forward, like you were saying a minute ago, coming forward to help this or that way, you know, and it's like you could never imagine, you could never make it up, you could never orchestrate it the way that it ends up happening when you get out of your own way and when you open to something so much larger and just take it one step at a time.
So beautifully illustrated. Thank you so much. And I'm struck by the image of Thich Nhat Hanh in an airport, you know, and walking slowly, or even however he's walking. It's the idea of connecting. There's a connection to the earth in the footsteps we're actually taking, and if we do that consciously, which reminds me of something that you have written about that I just love, in the story of the Buddha and his awakening. In the moment when Mara, who is the king of all the demons, are tempting him and just giving him all these images. And that's when the story goes, the Buddha takes his hand and he touches the earth and he summons the earth itself. Describe her as the earth, Mother Earth herself coming, and she is the one who absolutely helps him in that moment. And so I'd love for you to talk about how there is a connection with the earth in our spiritual practices that might be of benefit.
For sure. You know, as I was carrying this assignment out, I began, as I've said, you know, to just listen to what was happening with the earth all over the world, and began to feel as if the greatest teacher of our times is not some guru somewhere, even the most incredible ones, but really the earth. Because if we ignore the signs and the maybe you could even say screams, you know, then we're not going to make it. We all rely on the web of life on earth for our survival. And the more we degrade her, the more we abuse her and rape her and control her and use her, the less there is, you know? And so it's a process of awakening, because the forest fires, for example, you live in California, the forest fires in California, Devastating, right? Right.
Or the floods in Texas that are going on right now. Yes.
The floods in Texas. I mean, you know, pick one, anyone. The pandemic, the, you know, the loss of endangered species, whatever it is. Of course, there's way too much war in the world as well. And all of this is part of the whole of our human experience. So I feel as if the earth is the great teacher, honestly, and that it's our job in these times, and we're lucky to be alive in these times because we have this incredible opportunity to wake up in relationship to the earth and to each other. You know, we're not in our little isolated worlds anymore. We're so connected in all the ways that we know that we are. We can't escape it anymore. And so the great opportunity is to wake up together in this collective experience. And it's different from what it's been in the past. The Buddha was an isolated individual. So was Jesus. And, you know, whoever they are, these great masters were living in a very different time. And I think women, and not to make a polarity between men and women, or but we have a kind of innate connection to the life force energy within us as life givers and bearers. And so we are connected to the way in which Mother Earth operates, you know. And there's just such, and indigenous cultures also have such a deep understanding of and reverence for this, you know, and we've just ignored it so much in the Western world. So reclaiming that and reconnecting ourselves to the web of life is the great assignment. And that's how I think we're going to turn the ship around, you know, this spaceship Earth, to restore the balance and the harmony in the world. So when the Buddha, it's such a fascinating story, because when the Buddha was in the midst of becoming enlightened, sitting, as we know, at the base of a tree on the ground, and there was his whole awakening process going on in his consciousness, his awareness, and all the things that were obstructing him in that moment, we call the Mara, you know, we could call them demons or whatever, but it's like those forces that just try to say, no, you can't do that. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. Whatever it is, you're just, you know, you just go back to your little corner of the world and forget about it, you know. The Buddha was facing that, you know. And so what did he do? But he touched the earth. He summoned the earth under him to witness his own awakening in that moment, and to conquer that part of himself that was saying, no, 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 no.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here with Cynthia Jurs, and she is the author of Summoned by the Earth, Becoming a Holy Vessel for Healing Our World. And if you want to know more about her work, go to her website, GaiaMandala.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Cynthia Jers, and we're talking about summoning the earth. And there is a very, very precious story. I mean, there are so many stories in the book, and I'm just of the different communities, or some of us would call them the sanghas, the communities that came around you and the group that you're traveling with to bury these vases all around the world. As you say, the Africa and England, Avebury and Australia and India. I mean, just every place. Even I think you've sent some vases to Gaza and Israel and other places. In doing that, when that initial 30 years was completed, and you're sitting on your hillside in outside of Santa Fe, and you are looking back at a moment in your life where you visited once again Nepal and went back up to the cave and had a visit again like 30 years later. And as you were walking down the path, as you were leaving the cave, you were walking by yourself and you fell off the path. And this falling off a path at that particular moment isn't like just falling off the path if you're walking in a redwood forest here in California. It's like a drop of thousands of feet. What protector came for you?
Yeah, it was a big moment because I was grappling with trying to reconcile myself to the fact that I had been made a lama on this pilgrimage back to where it all began. It was a beautiful pilgrimage with a group, and we had taken a treasure vase back to the cave. And I was so moved by all of that. And yet, in the interim, in those 30 years, you know, I had gone through so many things, including just realizing that the earth is my teacher. You know, the earth, I'm being summoned by the earth. And maybe many of you are too, actually. I was not sure how I would carry out the role of being a lama in the tradition, because I felt as if I was kind of being called in a different direction to serve Mother Earth. And so I was trying to sort of reconcile how I would do that, you know? And
you're trying to be respectful to the lineage. Mm-hmm. Because it is a huge honor that was bestowed, not asked for. You didn't ask for it. It mm-hmm. was bestowed upon you. And so as a practitioner of Buddhism and acknowledging that lineage that goes back centuries, I'm sure you felt burdened and conflicted in some way.
Yes, I did. I did. I felt like I probably wasn't going to be able to uphold it in the way that the lineage would like me to, you know, because I was finding my way with Gaia, and the treasure vases had really catalyzed so much that is like in answer to today's time, not it's so much upholding something from the past. So I was reckoning with all of this, and that's when I fell over the edge of the trail, and I was walking alone, and so there was no one there, and I literally tumbled head over heels down the mountain, which was very steep, as you say, thousands of feet down to the bottom. There was nothing there to stop me. And I could see that out of the corner of my eyes as I was tumbling. And I left my body, you know, it's like, okay, you know, this is it. I thought I was dead. And then all of a sudden I came to a screeching halt on the side of this mountain. And it was sort of it was kind of wet. That was part of why I fell, because it had started to rain. And it was not rocky. It was sort of earth and grass basically. So it was slick. And but there I was, and I came to a stop, and I felt myself, and I realized I didn't have any broken bones. You know, like I was okay. Amazingly, I was okay. But I had to get up, and I ended up calling for help. Incredibly, one of the Sherpa porters who was walking by heard me, threw me a rope, a long rope, and then came down to help me, push me up to his friend who was holding the other end of the rope, and, you know, got me up, which was really incredible. I was banged up a bit. I was hurt, but I wasn't, you know, dead. And I had to walk another couple of hours. My people who I was with came and helped me. They came along behind me. And so it took me a while to try to understand what had happened, because I couldn't figure out how I had been saved, you know? And the Lama that I was with said, well, it must have been Tara who saved you. You know, she came in her moment when you needed her. And, you know, yeah, maybe, but I didn't see.
Tara is a feminine Buddha. She's, yes. In fact, my license plate says Om Tara.
Yeah.
Because I call on her as a protector, or that energy, that emanation of energy.
Yes, and I too have a long history with Tara. And so the practice of Gaia that I was coming to was inspired by Tara. But anyway, that's maybe another story.
Yes.
In any case, I didn't see Tara at that moment. And I didn't know what it was that had rescued me, basically. And then all of a sudden one day I got in touch with the experience again, and I realized it was the earth who caught me. And I could feel, and I relived the moment. I could feel as if the hands of the earth were just grabbing my back, pulling me to her to stop my fall. And I was stopped, and I felt glued to the side of that mountain. And it was, and then all of a sudden it was just like, it was the earth. It's, you know, like, that's it. And I realized then that I needed to stand for the earth, that my practice, my whole orientation, needed to be dedicated to the sublime Mother Gaia. And it always has been, you know. I was summoned, just like many of us in today's world are being summoned. And that in spite of the beauty of all of the lineages, teachings, and wonderful things that I've been exposed to, that this was, in a sense, a new path. You know, I was not on the same old path anymore. I was on a new path. And so here we are.
This brings me literally to tears hearing this story from you. And I get the image of a mother just gathering up her child in her arms, and there on the side of that mountain, Mother Earth, just as you say, reaching her hands and just gathering you to her breast.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am so moved by all of your dedication and all that you continue to do to bring us in circle, not as individuals, but that collectively, what you're drawing as Mother Earth drew you, now you're drawing all of us in this circle. And that's the idea, that we are not doing this individually. And mm-hmm. and as the Dalai Lama and also Thich Nhat Hanh is saying, the new Buddha is the Sangha, is mm-hmm. the collective. And maybe you can take a moment to make any comment that you have about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was there with Thich Nhat Hanh in Plum Village, his community in France, once in the 90s, early 90s, when he said for the first time, he said, the next Buddha will be a Sangha. And when he said it, it was like, what? What did he say? What did he mean? You know, it was like none of us had ever had that thought before. And it stayed with me, you know, all this time. Of course, now many of us have heard him speak about that and write about it. But it struck me deeply that we're in this together and we have to wake up. We have to awaken to the situation that we find ourselves in today, which is this global commitment and responsibility to life. And that's the great awakening that we are a part of.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I just thank you so much for all that you're doing, your part, that you've accepted your assignment here and being in service to our Mother Earth, Gaia, the Great Mother. And I'm here with Cynthia Jurs, and she is the author of Summoned by the Earth, Becoming a Holy Vessel for Healing Our World. I'd like to mention to our listeners that through your working with pilgrimages and retreats, and you have a newsletter, and people can find all of this on your website, GaiaMandala.net, or they can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. Thank you for being with us, Cynthia Jurs. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3818.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Ellen Tad, author of The Infinite View. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about practical advice for those seeking to approach life in a more spiritually informed manner.
Cego. Bonjour. Anim.
Danach ah, at anzenu shuk with an.
Tanse.
Ay, inu hadikai.
Words and culture weaves conversations with indigenous language and knowledge keepers to learn, celebrate, and connect. Join us as we delve into distinct indigenous language families, beginning in February.
You're listening to CJS.